everybody, this is Lisa.
And this is Joe.
And welcome to your cheap date for August 4th, 2007. On this week's show...
Smile when you say that.
On this week's show... How's this? Can you hear the smile in my voice?
Let's hear, I want to hear your broad. People always hear my broadcasting voice. I want them to hear yours.
I don't have a broadcasting voice. Isn't that abundantly clear yet?
You have a beautiful voice, though. People are big fans of your voice.
You know, I just re-recorded my voicemail at work because I don't have a voicemail greeting, but I have my name on there.
Yes.
Somebody was giving our receptionist a bunch of crap because they asked for Lisa.
Your maiden name or your new name?
For my new name, and when she transferred them and they got my voicemail, it said, "You've reached my old name." And they kept saying, "I don't know, I asked for one Lisa and I'm getting this other Lisa. What's going on here?" Well, there are like 50 people in our company. So, of course, the receptionist is like, "She got married in March to a wonderful man. You know, I don't know if she's decided if she wants to change her name yet or not, but I assure you it's the same person."
She's giving this a trial run. She's deciding whether or not she wants to.
You know, she has a year to decide if she's going to change her name or not. And, of course, everybody knows that I did change my name.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't record my voicemail because anybody who calls my voicemail, anybody who I want to hear from or whom I want to hear from knows.
From whom you wish to hear?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Knows that the two Lisas are one and the same. It's a very, very narrow group. If somebody doesn't know that I got married in March, then I don't need to hear their voicemail.
They know the two Lisas are one and the same. They're the same type.
I feel like a comic book character.
Lanky brunettes with wicked jaws. So the point is that you had to record it, so you got to use your voice again. "Hi, you've reached the phone of Lisa."
This is what was interesting. When I said my name in my regular voice, like the regular voice I use when I pick up the phone or when I talk... Yeah. And I played it back. I sounded like a little kid. I sounded kind of stuffed up and lispy.
Aww.
So the second time.
We could add the recording of you singing the Down Home Blues on this issue of the show, this episode of the show.
Or some
little
spoken word. some spoken word work. So the second time I recorded it, and I felt like a total idiot, but I said, I only had to say my name. I didn't have to record a greeting. I said, "Lisa Joseph."
Mm-hmm.
And when I played it back, it felt really exaggerated, but when I played it back, it sounded good.
That's true. You projected.
And I enunciated.
Enunciated.
I was literally like holding my lips back from my teeth like this.
That's how they teach you in broadcasting school. That's right. That's why every female newscaster sounds like this. "We have a newscaster here in Chicago. Her name is Anita Padilla. She sounds just like this." Back to you, Ron. And you know, tonight here out in the stockyards, we have...
I love the people on NPR because I can't even do the voices, but when they're talking about something serious, they sound very concerned.
Yes, they do.
And when you know it's a happy story, you can hear them smiling as they begin to describe it.
That's true. Is that what we strive for? Are we striving for the NPR
standards?
And I can
hear the smile
standards?
In their voice. Can you hear the smile?
Hi.
I feel like the Joker now. I have this big fake smile on my face. Nicholson. I don't mean it at all.
Hey, they're filming the new Batman movie downtown. I don't know if we mentioned this on the show.
So I hear. No, I don't.
But
think
yeah, every day I walk by the old post office. Brilliant piece of engineering. It's very cool. An expressway goes underneath it. So I guess they weren't really counting on, you know, like terrorist activities and stuff.
Clearly
but
not.
They have this huge building that the post office used to be, and they've moved up the street a little bit. And they're using it as the Gotham National Bank for the new Batman movie.
Interesting. And we were just the other day on Lower Wacker, which is, if you remember,
yes,
from the first Batman.
Well, from Batman Begins. Let's clarify what we're talking about here.
Oh, I remember it from the original.
No,
Batman.
I don't think so. It was Batman Begins was shot in Chicago, and all the exteriors were there, and then they CGI'd it all up. But a lot of the stuff that took place in Batman Begins was filmed on Lower Wacker.
But then it was CGI'd in.
a lot of the, it's not nearly as nasty as it used to be. It's very clean down there now. It's almost strange. But anyway.
Well, anyway, Lower Wacker is, if you remember in the Batman movies, you know, when they're meeting in an alley, and it's weird because it appears that people are meeting in an alley or a street or a loading dock or something, but very clearly they're undercover because it's unusually dark.
Right.
For like a city street.
Well, it's Gotham.
That's Lower Wacker, and it really is like that down there. And I think at night it's still kind of freaky because it's really dark.
It is.
It's like a tunnel, and yet there are all these loading dock doors that go in and out.
Mm-hmm. You got big trucks in there. You got taxi drivers driving through there at least 70 miles an hour. I still don't like driving down there at night. But it's pretty cool, especially for someone who's never seen the city before.
Actually, what it evokes a little bit is like being in the sewers. Not that it's dirty or smelly like that, but...
Like the sewers of Paris?
It's a hideout like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like you can imagine...
The Joker?
People hiding out in dark corners.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they do.
And I don't mean homeless people, because that's sad, and they should, you know... I don't blame them for seeking shelter, but I mean, like, villains.
Villains. The sort of person... Yeah, I know what you're talking about. How did we get here?
That's the beauty of it.
It's all stream of consciousness from here. Next thing you know, 30 minutes later, you got a show.
Yeah, well.
First of all, before we start, what are you drinking?
Vodka and grape juice. The choice of college freshmen everywhere.
I was going to say. Potocki vodka and Welch's grape juice. So,
like it matters.
Well, you know, it needs to
be said.
Well,
the vodka did come out of a glass bottle, not a plastic jug.
Exactly. Let it be said. There's no cheaping out here at the Cheap Date show headquarters.
And I didn't ladle it out of like a 50-gallon garbage can. I mixed it in a glass.
You get the big plastic thing from Costco.
Yeah.
You know, our buddy Glenn is a big fan of the big plastic thing of vodka from Costco.
You know, if you're going to mix it or make a punch or something.
It's true. I am enjoying a ginger ale and Cruzan Blackstrap rum. Now, this is a drink of heartiness. So there you go.
Which part? The ginger ale?
Yeah, the ginger. Yeah, it's Schweppes, man. They're nuts. This is really
diet good, ginger ale.
We've spoken. Oh, we actually have to make the obligatory Liz and Bob reference because we haven't talked about them in months.
No, we're way overdue.
Hundreds of episodes, but they're the ones who introduced us to this. And Blackstrap is a. There's some new podcaster pals of us, Tim and Nanette, who Tim had said he doesn't. I'm sorry. Tim said he doesn't like rum. And I said, dude, if you don't like rum.
Seen us in the car. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean? You've never had rum. That's the problem.
I introduced him to 10 Cane rum, which is absolutely sublime, I think would be your word for it.
I would agree with that.
It gives you a lovely little feeling that alcohol is supposed to. It doesn't have a big rum flavor. And the next morning.
Say rum again.
Rum. Your mileage may vary. But I've never had a hangover on 10 Cane.
No, it's true. And we have consumed plenty of it.
It's wonderful stuff. Cruzan Blackstrap is the Joker to 10 Cane's Batman. It's the exact opposite. I guess they're not really opposites because they're both kind of dark characters. Well, forget that metaphor. Cruzan Blackstrap rum.
You lost me. Cruzan is the Jack Sparrow to 10 Cane's that other guy, the Orlando Bloom guy.
Oh, Orlando Bland? Yes.
Don't start that, but you know what I mean.
Exactly. Blackstrap is a dark, very molassesy rum. In fact, I spilled some on my... I have a lovely orange shirt on tonight, and I spilled a splotch of it on here, and I'm concerned that it's going to stain.
It's dark like cola syrup.
Yeah.
And it's when you mix it with ginger like ale, it looks like you're drinking Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sneak it into a movie theater. It's great.
Hey, you just gave me a thought.
But it has a very, it's not like rum. It has a very distinctive molasses flavor. You really have to be careful what you mix it with. You can mix it with ginger ale. You can mix it with
Seven
Diet
Up.
Coke even. And you get like an Ultra Coke.
Yes.
With extra Coke flavor, but it tastes like molasses. So,
yeah, this is
keep
a
that
thick.
In mind if you're, you know, you can't just throw it in with whatever, substitute it for rum. It's totally different.
And if Jack Sparrow and Orlando Bland were in fact real, what's his character's name? Will.
Yeah, that's all I remember.
Will Turner.
Yeah, thank you.
If they were real people, what I'm drinking here is what they'd be drinking. This is the dark rum, you know, the sort of thing you would expect to see like rolling around the bottom of a ship for hundreds of years.
Yeah, and in fact, I think when rum was first made, it was made from molasses.
Well, it's made from sugar.
Is it still? No, but molasses specifically.
Oh, could very well be. We don't know about the history of rum.
No, I meant that 10 Cane is like the white bread version of Blackstrap.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's talk about... These people are not here to hear about this. They're here to
what
hear about...
Then what on earth are they here for?
They're here to hear about food.
Let's rum talk is about food.
It is. It's one of the four major food groups. I know. They got rid of the four major food groups, then they got the pyramid, now they're back to the four major food groups.
They are?
Yes. Rum, beer nuts, onion...
Cheese popcorn.
Onion dip and cheese popcorn.
Onion dip is a dip. That's not even a food.
Well, it's fine. Now, dip isn't food. You want to go? Should we pause this and...
That's like saying mustard is food. It's not food unless you have some food.
Are you saying
food.
That dip is a condiment?
I'm saying
okay,
that...
Okay, I'd like our listeners, call in, email, contact information at the end of the show. Check in and tell us if you think that dip is either a food or a condiment. Is that our argument here?
That's
is
a
that
good it? Question. I'm not saying either way. I'm just... But I think it's a good question. Is dip a condiment? Or is it a food unto itself?
I vote for the latter.
You know what everybody's going to say? It depends on the dip. So don't say that. Take a stand. Be a man.
Ooh.
Email us.
That's right. Contact information at the end of the show.
Now you have to listen to the next 20 minutes.
Onionmanitapedia. Call us at the end of the show.
That's why,
that sounds a little bit like sounds like a little bit like Johnny Carson now too.
Yeah, you've left Anita, whatever Amelia Bedelia behind.
Now I'm like the visitor from the east. Never mind, you're too young to remember that.
Is that
Karnak
a Johnny
the Magnificent? Yeah, exactly. We had a lovely lunch last week at Charlie's Ale House.
The lunch was lovely. The company was even
on Navy Pier. Yes, we met with.
Tell them, Joe.
We met with some podcaster pals of ours, the wonderful Shelley of Shelley's Podcast, and her husband, the fabulous Frank.
The wonderful Shelley and the fabulous Frank.
I know. What more could you ask for?
Why is Shelley not alliterated?
Because I can't think of a superlative compliment with an SH in front of it. The shining Shelley. The.
The super duper, shall we? I don't
know. A few more of these rums and yeah. So we met them at Shelley was in town for a conference which was being held on Navy Pier, and we figured, hey, you know what? Lisa came downtown. She was my assistant for the day in my office downtown
Chicago.
Just
take your wife to work day.
So it was on a Friday. You had some things to do with the school as well.
Yes.
So we decided to meet Shelley and Frank at Navy Pier for lunch. At Charlie's Ale House. Now, if you may recall, last October we met some other podcasters. We met Matt and Amy from Red Boy and Charlie and Carol from Israelisms at Joe's Bebop Cafe, also on Navy Pier. But that was merely a coincidence.
Yeah, we're not like in with Navy Pier.
Exactly. It just so happens to be. It's a landmark. People are in town. There you
go.
Well,
it's easy to find. Everybody can find it.
Exactly. And you say a cab driver, Navy Pier. There you go. So, Charlie's Ale House, well, how would you describe it? It's like a...
An Ersatz.
Yeah, Ersatz Irish pub kind of place.
Don't
hit me up for implying that it's fake. It's just... It's one of those pubs... Right, like a Tchotchke's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's...
Pizza Shooters?
Yeah. I mean, it was good. And they did have a far better beer list than a... Than a chain.
Than your typical chain kind of place. That's true.
But you know, they had a little bit of everything. I didn't notice that it was Irish, really.
No. What did you have?
I had one of two vegetarian options on the menu. If you hear fatigue in my voice, it's because I'm sick of choosing between the two vegetarian options on every menu. I had the giant portobello mushroom. I have eaten a lot of portobello mushrooms in the last few months. Hear where this is going, people. It's not going to last much longer. It was a marinated portobello grilled and set up like a burger with tomato and cheese. And this was interesting, sautéed spinach.
Oh, yeah.
That was actually really good. And every time I have sautéed spinach, I'm a little bit nervous about it. I love raw spinach. But sautéed spinach, we've all had experiences with canned or frozen spinach.
We have.
Not pleasant. But if you take fresh spinach and sauté it with a little bit of olive oil and salt and pepper, maybe a little garlic, and get it just wilted, just the right amount, it's really very good. And it's easier, well, it's softer than raw, so it's kind of easier to eat. But I think, and same thing with cabbage, I think it gets cooked poorly so often, or it gets cooked and then it sits around waiting for the turkey to be done or whatever, that I think people have bad experiences with it. But the sautéed spinach was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And they allowed me to substitute sautéed veggies for fries, and that was very good too.
Good.
Tender, crisp, and butter, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Good. Very nice.
I had the buffalo chicken breast sandwich, which is actually my favorite thing to order when we go to Max and Irma's. But you can screw that up, and I'm pleased to report that Charlie's did not screw that up.
Very good.
Came with some good fries and whatnot. It was.
Yeah, how were the fries?
They were good. The one thing that I always like doing whenever I get the buffalo chicken breast sandwich at any place is I like to get a little
extra
side
sauce.
Extra sauce, and I didn't have a chance to ask for that. So. But you know what? It was good. The conversation overpowered everything else anyway. It was a wonderful time.
Can we talk about what our guests, our hosts actually,
that's
got?
Right. Very sweet. Thank you, you guys, by the way.
Shelley got some kind of salmon.
She did.
Sandwich.
Yeah.
And did Frank get meatloaf?
Pot roast? Meatloaf? Oh, he did. I think he got the Better Than Mom's meatloaf.
Whatever it was like 90 degrees out, and we were like, how are you going to eat meatloaf?
Yeah. But he enjoyed it. He seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And entrees there are all $12 or under, which is really, really good, especially for a place like Navy Pier, which is a touristy destination.
Yes.
It was a really hot day, too. It was a very humid day. They asked us if they have outdoor seating. They asked us if we wanted to sit outside and you could overlook where the boats come in and whatnot and the little vendors and the people walking by. We opted to be inside. It was still kind of warm in there, but It wasn't bad. And it was the first time that we were back at Navy Pier since?
Since we got engaged.
So that was really good. So if you're planning a day down at Navy Pier, stop in at Charlie's Ale House. We do recommend it. It's a good place. Like I said, Navy Pier overall is kind of a touristy place, but this was a really good alternative
to know what you're getting
the fast food court.
If you want, yes, definitely.
Charlie's Ale House has locations aside from Navy Pier, they also have one in Andersonville, north in Chicago. Also in Wheaton.
Very nice.
And in Munster, Indiana. So check that out. We think you'll enjoy it. Now, the next thing we want to talk about is the smile when you say that portion of the show. Which was what?
Well, the night before this crazy afternoon with Shelley and Frank, we went to Murphy's in Arlington Heights for, what was this called?
Well, it's Bottom Shelf Comedy is the name of the group. And they have all of these guys from Ireland, and they call this tour the Mix on the Mic.
That's
tour.
What I was looking for.
So there were five comics who were doing this. And then it was in memory of another guy who normally was part of their troupe, but he had passed away. So they dedicated the show to him. But the show was held at Murphy's in Arlington Heights, as we'd mentioned.
That's the amazing part about it.
Now, Murphy's, we haven't reviewed Murphy's. We've been there. Murphy's is in the middle of a strip mall next to a liquor store and a Subway and a laundromat.
And a European grocery.
Right.
Yeah. So, Not a place you would drive by and think, oh, that's the place to be.
Right.
We like Murphy's for cheap beer.
We do. That's where we learned about La Crosse beer as well.
Buckets of La Crosse. I don't even know how much, but cheap.
Yeah.
They have pizza, cheap food, good food.
Pub-type fare, all the munchies,
those sorts of things. It's a safe place. You know, it's a laid-back crowd.
Right.
If you want to just go have a couple drinks and chat, it's a good place to do that. Or watch the game or something like that without getting into the downtown madness. Plus, because it's in a strip mall and because all the other places are closed by the time you get there, unless you're getting an early start,
parking
you can
is
park.
Not a problem.
Now, if you're not allowed to drink and drive, why do bars have parking lots?
Ooh, good point.
Couldn't tell you. So we don't advocate drinking and driving, but your designated driver will not have to walk far.
Exactly.
Or carry you far.
Just dump him in the park. Put him in his car.
But, to put it delicately, it's not the kind of place you go expecting live entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Or any entertainment. You expect a TV with the Cubs game.
Exactly. Which they did have in the front half of the place.
Yeah.
There was a microphone and an amp set up in the back corner, which is where the comics were.
Where we were.
The show was hosted by a guy named Dean Carlson, and the comics, I don't think this was in order of appearance, were Joe Kilgallen, Brendan McGowan, CJ Sullivan, and Sean Flannery.
And very authentic.
Exactly. You can't get more Irish than that. And you know what? It was good. I got the impression that a lot of the people who were there were friends and family of these guys. But we were there with the lovely Liz and Bob and some other friends, and we were, I think we were a great audience, to be honest with you.
Okay. Did we have fun?
We had a blast.
Did we laugh?
We laughed.
Did we laugh at every single joke?
Pretty much. And every single comic started off with, hey, who likes drinking?
We didn't laugh at every single joke.
No, we didn't. But we had fun.
But we had fun. And overall, the guys were funny, and it was free. And the difficult thing was, for them, not for us, we were just sitting there drinking cheap beer. I think a lot of the crowd there that night didn't expect live entertainment.
Right.
And they were indifferent to live entertainment of any quality. Not that this was like Second City quality comedy start to finish. But I think it didn't matter how funny these guys were.
Yeah.
Some people were there to talk with their buddies and watch the Cubs game, and that's what they were going to do, and they had no problem ignoring the guy in the corner with a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, actually the interested
Cubs lost
audience,
horribly that night, by the way.
And like 10 to 1.
No, it was like 11 to something.
I thought that was a joke. Somebody said, yeah, Cubs are down 10 to 1, but they're trying to come back.
Yeah. It was over.
The comeback
next
part
minute.
Was a joke. But I have been in bars like that with performers where the bar doesn't advertise. Well, Murphy's advertised this particular event, but the bar is not known for live entertainment. And all of a sudden, one night they get a live band or a live performer, and most of the regulars aren't that interested in it.
Right.
They're just there to drink. If they wanted entertainment on a regular basis, they would go somewhere else.
Right.
So I think it's great that Murphy's is trying to do the live entertainment thing. It was just a difficult situation for the performers, I think, that not everybody there was really interested in it.
Right. Now, the best part about this is the fact that, in addition, a few of these guys had some really great material, and yes. The best part about it was that it was free.
There was no free cover. You can't beat that. Oh, and they have a MySpace. We should link to that.
We do. Actually, I have that, and we will have a link on that in the show notes.
Okay. Consider it done.
These guys are doing this show every... they're doing it the last Thursday of every month at 8 o'clock p.m. at Murphy's, which is at 1609 West Campbell in Arlington Heights. They also, on their MySpace page, talk about how they're going to do it the first Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. at Eddie's Lounge on Northwest Highway in Arlington Heights, but we're gonna get to that in a minute.
I didn't realize they were coming back to Murphy's. Maybe we should go back sometime.
But they do go around, and like I said, we'll put a link to the show. But they do a lot of stuff. Oh, and they even have videos up on their They have videos up on their MySpace, so check that out. Now, one of the guys, and I think it was it this guy?
Well, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was C.J. Sullivan who afterwards, after everyone cleared out. We should lay this whole thing out. So they do the show. The MC comes up. He tells some jokes, introduces each of the guys. They come up. They do their bits. They go down. And then they take a break. And then they have an open mic night, which I guess you can sign up for somehow. Sure. And they had a couple of guys doing some open mic type things. In fact, the second guy just sort of came over and spent his entire time talking to Liz.
About bear hunting.
About bear hunting.
Which Liz brought up.
So she gets some. She deserves something for making his set a little bit better. But anyway, so then afterwards, the guy, you know, the crowd kind of dispersed, such as it was, and it was getting later. But then one of the guys who was there actually came up and thanked all of us for being there and for laughing and for giving the feedback, which I think is great that he did that and he recognized the audience for that. The audience of our table.
That made me wish we had laughed even harder.
So we may be heading back to that. So, and there's also some tips in terms of where you can find these guys on the MySpace page, which I said we'll link to on the show. So check it out.
All right.
That leads us to our next item, which is...
Oh, goodness.
Eddie's. Popular landmark closes.
Aww.
Eddie's restaurant in downtown Arlington Heights, which I don't think we ever actually... Did we... I don't think we reviewed it.
I don't think so.
No.
We've been there once or twice.
Yeah. It's a great place. It was a great place. The original owners retired. Actually, the original owner passed away, and then the family kept running it, and then they retired and then handed it off to someone else. And then a close for remodeling sign went up over the weekend, and one of the manager confirmed that even though the sign says closed for remodeling, they're closed.
For good.
So we're hoping... Eddie's is a great place where they had on Wednesdays and Friday nights, depending on the season, they had the all-you-can-eat fried chicken nights and the all-you-can-eat fish fry nights. Mm-hmm. And Sunday they had all-you-can-eat chicken or fish. Great place. And that's where they had the awesome soup, the spaghetti soup.
Yeah.
Remember that? The pasta soup?
I do.
So... A great place, and it's gone. But we hope that the new owners, whoever is in charge of the place, is going to come back and bring it back to.
I hope that they'll make it a comfortable. It was a comfortable neighborhood place, and I hope that they'll stick with that and not try to make it something shiny with an $8 cover.
Exactly.
Because we got plenty of those.
Right. Do we need to mention the world's largest ketchup packet?
No.
Made from an 8 foot tall, 4 foot wide plastic.
What did I
pouch.
Just say? No.
Google world.
Google
large,
it.
Yeah, Google it. It's.
I'm sure everybody who cares knows by now.
Let's talk about some feedback that we got on previous shows because, as we know, as you all know, we love to hear from you guys. We got a voicemail from Barely.
Within minutes, it seemed like.
Exactly. Lisa had asked the question last week about pasta. How do you like your pasta, and what did Barely say?
Well, to recap, I like mine a little mushy, but I fear that I overcook it. And we had gotten a review of... What was our guest review last week? The pasta place inside Portillo's.
Oh, it was CB who had done, Barnelli's.
Barnelli's. CB said the pasta was okay, not super fresh. And I wanted to know what everybody thought about pasta. Barely responded and said he likes his a tad bit underdone.
Mm-hmm. Crunchy inside.
He likes to have a little crunch on the inside. But his wife doesn't like it that way. And the rest of his voicemail was about...
How he gets yelled at by his wife.
Getting yelled at about underdone pasta. So thank you, Barely. Good to know. I'd be interested in more opinions.
On
or
pasta?
Not. I guess, you know, pasta.
And don't forget,
just is what it is.
Dip. Is it a condiment or is it a dish? Tell us.
No, is it a condiment or is it a food? It goes in a dish.
I'm not even going to go there. Yeah. Oh,
well, what do you mean, like an entree? Clearly it's not that.
I'll have the onion dip entree, please.
Do you order guacamole as an appetizer?
I've ordered guacamole as a main dish sometimes.
Do you get chips with it?
Of course.
So it's not really a standalone food. Are the chips a condiment for the guac, or is the guac
okay,
a condiment?
Okay. I still want our audience to weigh in on this, so please do weigh in. We also got an email from Dan on Tap, who's in Chicago as we sit here.
Are we going to read this in unison?
Well, we can. Well, this is with regards.
Joe
this is
slash Lisa.
This is with regards to beer, and you're the beer expert, so why don't you paraphrase and see what Dan had to say?
All right. Dan enjoyed our review of Goose Island. Thanks, Dan. And he mentioned that there are black lagers and stouts that have much less body and weight than typical Guinness or Sam Smith's. We talked about potentially drinking a stout with like a blue cheese onion burger.
Right.
And how that might be a little bit heavy. But he recommended a couple. Chelsea Brewing Company's standard stout is accessible with a burger, even a stinky one. While Tsar's Revenge, I love that, is best paired with something else. So, I guess that means that Chelsea Company's stout is a little bit lighter, and Tsar's Revenge is probably not. So, that's interesting. I would definitely be interested because I like the flavor of a stout, but yeah, I don't like the heaviness.
Right.
Or maybe a black lager. Maybe that's what I really need. I actually just have realized that I like dark lagers. I didn't before, I think, because I was drinking them with a light lager mindset.
Okay.
But, and the example is Modelo Especial versus Negro Modelo.
Mm-hmm.
I always drink Especial because it's a light lager. And I read an article about dark lagers, and then I tried a Negra, and I actually really liked it because I wanted some of that heartier flavor, but still a lightweight.
So you were actually drinking it. You've had it before, but now you're drinking it with a different mindset.
Yeah, I haven't had it in like years. I think I think probably the first time I ever had it, I thought it would be like Corona or something.
Yeah.
And then when I had it, it was completely different, and I wasn't into it. Anyway, he says fruit beers are on the rise. He mentions Wachusett Blueberry Ale, Cherry Wheat from Sam Adams, who also makes an excellent yet elusive Cranberry Lambic.
I'm not a big fan of Sam Adams. Maybe I'm not a big fan of the Sam Adams lager.
Well, yeah, there's like that one Sam Adams beer that everybody has. And he mentions that some brewers put a fruit extract directly into the brew at various times during the boiling. And some take full pieces of fruit and place them in sort of a tea bag to drain off essence.
Mm-hmm.
As you would, actually, as I do with mint leaves in my iced tea.
So maybe that's what they did with your strawberry drink that you had at
I have a feeling. It was so, I hate to use this word because I hear it so much. It was jammy.
Oh, really?
As much as beer can be. It tasted like there were smashed up strawberries in it.
Mm.
It didn't have a note of strawberry essence. It was like they had mushed up strawberries and then run it through a strainer.
Okay.
So that's just my guess. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Okay.
But anyway, that explains, those different techniques are responsible for the different levels of fruitiness you get.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll get a fruit beer that just very subtly evokes, and sometimes you'll get one that smacks you in the face with strawberry.
Mm-hmm. Opening up a can of Smuckers, jar of Smuckers.
Exactly.
You have it. Okay, very good.
I was reading meatloaf recipes, and I read one that called for grape...
Wah? The vegetarian was reading meatloaf recipes?
Yeah, well...
Wah?
And I read one that called for a spoonful of grape jelly. Apparently, you can put anything in your fridge into meatloaf.
Wow. I suppose so.
That's the whole idea with meatloaf, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's probably silly to...
Pretty much throw anything else in there. You can, yeah, exactly. Well, very good.
Anyway, just...
Okay. I think we've covered... Oh, that's okay. I think we've covered all the bases. Have we? We have. Good. Well, thank you for showing up at the mic again this week, honey. We really appreciate that.
Oh, you know I just sit here all week and wait for you. Can we podcast tonight, please?
Let's. If people want to get a hold of us...
Okay, Dad.
If you want to get a hold of us, how do they do that?
I recommend email, unless you're barely, and then you should just call. Because that's your thing.
Because if you're barely, that's what
you
do. You have a long commute, and you just call.
Listeners other than barely should email us. dish@cheapdateshow.com. You can call too.
And if you did want to call, the number is 206-203-3283.
All right.
That's good. So until next time, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you in
about a fortnight.
There you go.
Good night.
This podcast is a production of Cheap Date Media at cheapdatemedia.com.